AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota, Hunter Haas and Brett Johnson here on Election Day, Tuesday, November 6, 2018. The big midterm elections are finally here. And Brett, did you get a chance to vote today?
I did vote today, 9:30 this morning, and polls were pretty full at my location. Good news in mid-morning.
Yeah, same. I witnessed the same. My polling location was the busiest I've ever seen it. I haven't been there long, but definitely a lot of enthusiasm this year. And the reports are that the turnout's going to be close to the presidential election of 2016.
Yeah, the national news was interesting when they were saying 52% of Florida voters, I believe, so far are Gen Xers or younger, which would strike me as being good news, considering what midterms normally turn out to be.
Yeah, and it's interesting to note that the higher the turnout, the better the chances for Democrats to win seats. That's a unique phenomenon that the Democrats benefit from a healthy democracy.
Well, there's typically always been more Democrats. It's just a matter of actually getting them to turn out and vote.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The Republicans have a good job of having solidarity around whoever their candidate is and showing up to the polls, while liberals and left-wing people, they're higher in numbers in the country, but they have a harder time showing up consistently. So right now, signs are looking good for our blue wave this year. And Brett, take a look if you can find any exit polls during the show, because they usually come out about 5 p.m. Eastern time. So those initial exit polls could be coming out anytime now, which will be interesting to look at. But before we get to the politics, on my way to the station, I had to go to Edina to pick up a laptop I'm going to use for our election night coverage tonight, starting at 7 p.m. We'll talk about that a little bit more later, too. But when I got the laptop, my stepmom also gave me a garbage bag full of Beanie Babies. And in that bag, I have here the Beanie Baby Handbook with the price. It's from 1997, the height of the Beanie Baby craze.
Oh.
And it's basically like a price guide with future predictions. So it has the initial price of when a Beanie Baby came out, the 1997 value, and the year 2007 value. So we'll read a couple of these. Bumble the Bee came out in 1995 for $5. In 1997, he was valued at $150. By 2007, he'll be worth $1,900. So just think of what he's worth now in 2018.
Do you have that specific Beanie Baby with you?
I got a whole garbage bag. It might be in there. I haven't looked which ones are in there yet. But
so tomorrow, you might not show up to AM 950. You may just retire on your Beanie Babies there.
Forget about the Mega Millions. I got the Beanie Babies.
Yeah,
yeah, so they don't have the 2018 prices, but really, they could only go up, right? Beanie Babies are just worth more now, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So maybe I'll bring those in tonight, and we'll look at some of the Beanie Babies before we get to reporting the results.
That's a sign if we get way too late in the evening and we're losing our focus. If we're not talking elections, we're talking Beanie Babies.
Yeah, so keep an eye out on us. But Brett, you might have noticed that it's raining today.
It's raining blue.
High tides reported at Lake Superior, at Bade Maska, Lake Calhoun, the Pacific Ocean, the Atlantic Ocean, and the Gulf of Mexico. Dangerous high tides reported. It's a blue wave happening. But on a serious note, rain does have an effect. And on the East Coast, it's going to be raining all day. And history shows that favors Republicans. With voters along the eastern seaboard getting wet heading to the polls this election day, political scientists and meteorologists are attempting to game out whether the inclement weather could affect election results. The weather has taken on unusual significance because it can be quite a determinant of voter behavior. Studies have shown that bad weather can depress turnout, particularly among groups likely to vote for Democrats. With voters along the eastern seaboard getting wet heading to the polls this election day, political scientists and meteorologists are attempting to game out whether the inclement weather could affect voters this cycle. So the forecast today is scattered and severe thunderstorms on the East Coast. But experts caution that the effect of the weather on voting this cycle could be erased by high voter enthusiasm. And Al Roker says, I just don't see it being an issue. At least today, I don't think the weather is bad enough. I think people on both sides are motivated enough to go out and vote. And then he goes on to say that he noted that there was long lines, particularly a trend towards people getting out in the rain. One caveat of this is high rains only reduce turnout in uncompetitive elections. Competitive elections, voters are more determined to vote, rain or shine, and have been shown to show up historically. So massive early voter numbers point to record turnout this year. More than 35 million people cast their votes before Election Day. And science backs up that competitive elections are less susceptible to the effects of precipitation. A group in 2011 at Harvard University found rain decreases turnout on average, but not so with competitive elections. And with the Democrats aiming to take back the House and Republicans hoping to hold on to their government, this election cycle is extremely competitive, and we know that. But should note that rain can have an effect. Another thing to look out for today with the exit polls and when we start getting results is the turnout in the suburbs and especially among suburban women. They are really the key demographic for 2018. They're an incredibly important voter bloc this year, and they have some of the highest disapproval ratings for President Trump. But typically, suburban women are pretty split. It's a kind of a 50-50 Democrat to Republican split in the suburbs in general. But this year, it's something to look out for. Well, our friend Randy in Coon Rapids is on the phone, and he wants to talk about the turnout for the election this year.
Yeah, I just got done voting, and I mean, I'm in a pretty conservative area. You know, I usually go as massively Republican, and boy, I actually had there was a waiting line. Usually the midterms, lucky if there's a couple hundred people that go in there and vote. The place was just packed. I mean, it was packed as much as a presidential election, if not more. So I was very happy to see that.
Yeah, it's great.
Hopefully everybody's seeing the same turnouts. I got two major elections that I'm kind of watching that are scaring the living tar out of me. So
which ones are those?
Well, the Keith Ellison one, he scares the heck out of me, and the one that really scares the heck out of me, and I can't believe anyone's going to vote for him. I'm sure everybody on this station will be voting for him, is Tim Walz.
Oh.
He scares the living tar out of me.
Yeah, well, I would be afraid of Tim Walz winning, too, if I were you. It looks like he's going to win pretty easily. But Keith Ellison, that one's going to be extremely close.
So yeah,
I share
like
your
Tim
nerves.
Walz raising the gas tax, raising our taxes. Having us be a sanctuary state and open borders and government health care, all those things. That's why I don't want Tim Walz in there.
All right. Thanks for the call, Randy. And, we both noticed the same thing, too, a lot of enthusiasm for this election. So, Brett, at 7 o'clock, we're taking over here and reporting the results of the 2018 midterms. Matt McNeil will be kicking us off from 7 to 9, and we will be reporting from Election Central here. What are you most interested in seeing as the results pour in?
Well, I kind of have my own little guide I've made on what races to watch as we head throughout the evening. In fact, we're going to have a pretty good idea about how big the blue wave might be, even as early as the 6 o'clock hour, because at 5 o'clock our time, polls in Indiana and Kentucky are going to close. And one of the races in Kentucky, I believe it's their 6th district, is pretty much 50-50. It's one of those toss-up seats. If that goes Democrat, I'm guessing that probably means we're going to see a Democratic House, while Indiana has another congressional seat that leans Republican. If that one flips Democrat, then I'm guessing we're probably going to see a pretty massive blue wave. So those are results we're probably going to see pretty early on. Also, you were asking about some exit polling.
Mm-hmm.
Colorado has some preliminary data.
Oh, cool.
Good news over here. 61% of voters so far are under the age of 60.
Wow.
So there you go.
Yeah, because, I mean, that over 60 block tends to dominate elections.
Yeah,
it's
especially
staggering.
In midterms.
Yeah.
Now, granted, this isn't the full day of Colorado. Uh-huh. This was as of, I think, like 12:30 their time, which would be about 1:30 ours. But
which is even better because young people tend to vote later in the day.
Oh, I didn't even think of that angle.
Yeah, so that is good news.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I am focusing on the state house with our reporting of results, and there are a lot of interesting things going on in the state house. I'll talk about that more later, but of course, what I'm really interested in is the Texas Senate race, because I've predicted that Beto O'Rourke will win against Ted Cruz, and the fact that he's been so close in the polls for such a long time shows me that he can pull this off, because these polls, and especially nowadays, they have a bad analytic reputation for being able to count non-consistent voters. So they're very good at predicting elections with low turnout because only the reliable voters show up. But in Texas, Democrats finally have a reason to show up, which is rare in that state. They usually have nothing to be excited about. Well, let's take a break. We got some phone calls coming in. Our number is 952-946-6205. Give us a call if you want to talk about anything this election day. But we'll be right back on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
At Pride Institute, being LGBTQ+ is the norm, not the exception. Their highly trained and skilled staff understand your issues and will help you live a happy, healthy life as a proud LGBTQ+ person. They offer you hope to overcome your addiction and live the life you want. Their treatment programs are designed to assist you in developing the knowledge, skills, and attitudes for long-term recovery. Therapy groups include health education, LGBTQ issues, HIV and chronic illness, trauma, grief and loss, transgender support, nicotine recovery education, and sexual health. Pride Institute offers a residential treatment program, a partial hospitalization program that includes day programming with lodging, and an intensive outpatient program. If you or someone in your life can benefit from guidance and coping skills, life balance, and other tools necessary for long-term recovery, check them out at pride-institute.com or call 800-547-7433 now.
Waking up is easy when you look forward to breakfast. Serve 7 days a week at the Downtowner Woodfire Grill in St. Paul. Try eggs your way with hash browns, bacon, or sausage. There are four delicious varieties of Eggs Benedict that should not be missed, and buttermilk pancakes, waffles, or French toast are always fresh off the griddle. How about a Bloody Mary or screwdriver from the bar? The Downtowner Woodfire Grill is located at 253 West 7th Street with plenty of free parking, or online at downtownerwoodfire.com.
Hi, this is Paul Metza, inviting you to listen to the Wall of Power Radio Hour every weekend on AM 950. We are now in our third year of broadcasting on the Progressive Voice of Minnesota. MinPost has called us one of the 22 most independently entertaining and cool radio shows in the Twin Cities. We feature cool people from all walks of life and from all 50 states every Saturday at 6 p.m., replayed Sunday at 4 p.m. on AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota.
Find a wide selection of outdoor hearth products at Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces. Whether you prefer wood or gas, Woodland Stoves has the fire to fit your home. Pizza aficionados know nothing matches masonry oven baking for capturing flavor and nutrition. Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces can easily install one in your home or business. Enthusiasts use these ovens year-round for bread making, wood roasting, even grilling.
The mission and passion of Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces is to make the fire work for you. The way humans relate to fire is primordial. We have used fire to warm our bodies, cook our meals, and kindle our spirits. Our team has the know-how to do this in a clean-burning and environmentally smart way. Visit our store and experience the diversity. We have over 35 working units on display at the corner of Riverside and East Franklin. See us online at woodlandstoves.com. Find the fire that fits and works for you.
Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces, out of the ordinary products and services since 1977.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota, Hunter Hawes and Brett Johnson here on Election Day 2018. Blue wave is occurring, but we got some people that might disagree. Let's see what Rich from Minneapolis has to say. Rich?
Hi there, Hunter. I've got to ask you, did I just hear some idiot say that he did not like or he was afraid of voting for walls? He scares him because he's afraid of open borders? That guy is one of the... I'm just so glad he's always called for years to show us just how either stupid he is or rotten. And the reason I say rotten is if he's not that stupid, he would know what I just said is true, that we don't have open borders. But what would make him rotten is that he's trying to scare more idiots into not voting for walls. But you had another right-winger call yesterday, Nathan. And I was talking to a tax attorney, and he said that the $2,300 that Nathan was talking about, it's the average. And if you know averages, it goes from small income earners to high income earners. And I'm going to give you an example. If you make $30,000 a year, $30,000, by the way, $30,000 is considered poverty wage. So 30 and below is poverty wage. If you make $30,000 a year, your great, fantastic tax break is $75 a year. And if you make $50,000, your fantastic tax break is just $70 more than that, maybe. So, you know, you break that down, what is that, $2 a week?
Yeah.
So anyway.
And that was what Brett was saying. That's totally in line with what you claimed your tax cut was closer to maybe $10 per paycheck.
Yeah, it wasn't very much. I might have even been overstating it when I said it was like 10 or 15 bucks. It was probably less.
Am I still on?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Rich, yeah, well, the other thing is that the tax attorney said one thing they've done to fool the average person, if they do see more than that, all they did was change the amount that they allow to take out and not pay in. But you will pay that more, that extra at the end of the year. You're not getting away. If you're making $50,000 a year and you're getting more than what I had said, you're not really getting that. They're just they're just putting that much less into the tax fund, and you're going to end up paying that at the end. So it is dirt. Like I said, if you make $30,000 a year, your great break is $75 for a year, and it's $140 or so if you make $50,000. So
yeah,
there you go, kids.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Rich, for clarifying that. That does sound a lot closer to reality and what I've heard, but you put that really succinct.
Got to get my mic on. That helps when I talk. But I think that might be the case of what could be happening with Nathan is that, yeah, you can deduct more money, but then you have to pay it back later.
Yeah, yeah.
It would strike me you'd have to make quite a bit of money to be getting $2,300 in tax breaks. And who knows, maybe Nathan was making that much money. We don't know a situation.
So let's get Jeff from Minneapolis on quick, since he also wants to talk about Tim Walz. Jeff?
Hi, Hunter. I just wanted to make a quick observation about Randy. I find it quite odd that a conservative listens to a progressive radio show like he's really going to make a difference, but it's not. But I work at a vegan restaurant with a lot of the younger generation. I'm a little older. I won't say my age. But what I'm finding is that the younger generation advocates health care for all. They advocate equality for all. And I think that's what our Democratic candidates stand for, and I'm all for it. And what I find odd about Randy is that, and I've said this in past phone calls, is that he really needs to get away from Fox News and start practicing critical thinking. I just think he's so blinded by what Fox News puts out, what the Trumpers, I call them, put out, and the hate. I think there's absolutely nothing wrong with having health care for all. I work, there's actually a lady that I work with that's from Mexico, and she's the hardest worker that I've ever been around. She can run circles, probably around Randy, But, you know, I just find it so odd that he calls the show all the time. And, you know, one of the things I would challenge him on is he disturbed by the amount of his tax dollars that are going to these endless wars? Is he disturbed by the hatred that Trump spews every day on Twitter? You know, these are things that he never really talks about. And I would challenge him. I would challenge him to talk about that. Are you disturbed by our president and the hatred that he spews daily?
Yeah,
about people.
It's all that fear that's mongered and gets these people to really get behind voting against their own self-interest. Well, we got a ton of phone calls, so let's keep going. Let's go with Jim from St. Paul. He also wants to talk about Randy.
Yeah, I sure do. I just want to say it's so good to hear from Rich. I'm glad he's calling again. He's a great guy. But let me tell you about Randy and what I did to make sure the universe is okay. I voted exactly opposite Randy, so I nullified his vote. So now the world can rest easy now. You know, he's a wandering lost soul, that Randy. But he might as well not have voted because I canceled his vote out.
And not only that, but you got me and Brett here. We tripled his vote together.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Yeah, well, thanks, Jim. And let's get Gary on the phone quick. He wants to talk about the tax cuts as well.
Yeah, well, I'm going to say something first. To understand what's going on in this country or this world, for a fact, the few billionaires that got most of the money in the country and the world, how they keep grabbing more and more and taking it from us and causing more and more suffering and poverty. There's a movie, the old movie with Humphrey Bogart, Treasure of Sierra Madre, and the people back in the Depression days used to love that movie like my father and uncle. And that shows how Bogart comes out with highly enough that he's real generous, and then the old prospector had been rich when she warns him of gold fever, and how it overtakes his mind, he'd do anything to grab all the gold and shoot his partner in the back and all that. Anyways, what I'm getting at is McConnell, these Republicans work for the billionaires and the super rich, and they've always been a corporate party like that all the time, and then now it's completely that way, the Koch brothers types. And McConnell made a mistake 3 weeks before the election to tell the truth. He's going to want to abolish ACA, Obamacare. He wants to cut Social Security and Medicare to make up for all the deficit, their lack of revenue because of their tax giveaways to the fat cats due to us. So let's hope we get the House and all the governors this gerrymandering. Thank you, guys.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Gary. Here, on the note of the governor's race, since this is what caused all of these calls, KSTP had a gubernatorial race poll for high school students. And historically, these have been very accurate at predicting who would win the governorship. A total of 45,000 votes from 156 schools had been counted as of Tuesday. The results show DFL candidates Tim Walz and Peggy Flanagan leading Republican candidates Jeff Johnson and Donna Bergstrom by a total of 41% to 31%. Now, interesting to note of this and how you can tell it's a high school poll, grassroots legalized cannabis candidates Chris Wright received 17.6% of the vote, and while libertarian candidates Josh Welter received 5.5%.
You're not buying 17 tonight for Chris Wright.
If these kids could vote, maybe they'd turn up and get that high. But
I like your term there. Maybe they'd get
that
high.
Perfect.
Yeah, see what you did there.
Grassroots legalized cannabis party. But there's really no need to vote for the grassroots legalized cannabis party because Tim Walz has came out in full support of legalization of marijuana and expungement of records, which was the primary purpose of the grassroots legalized cannabis party for running candidates in the first place. So all their candidates have endorsed their statewide opponents, which is very unorthodox for a election to endorse your opponents at all. Well, we're going to take a break, and when we come back, I want to talk about the state house as well as some municipal elections. So if you have any thoughts on either or have any advice for these municipal races that have no party affiliation, give us a call at 952-946-6205. We'll be right back on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
Looking to offer high-end restaurant-quality food at your next event? Look no further than D'Amico Catering. Their talented team of event planners and chefs will collaborate to perfect a menu that best fits your needs. Whether emphasizing local cuisine or ethnic flavors, organic bites or summertime favorites, they're here to give you choices that align with your taste, budget, and style. Interested in learning more? Please visit D'AmicoCatering.com. That's D'AmicoCatering.com.
Brending Electrolysis on Grand Avenue in St. Paul has been a leader in permanent hair removal for people of all skin types and backgrounds for over 30 years, celebrating diversity and priding themselves on finding the right treatment plan for each client's individual needs, regardless of race or gender. Services include electrolysis, body waxing, facials, microneedling, and permanent makeup. Book your 60-minute complimentary consultation, including a 15-minute treatment today, for beautiful, lasting results. Visit BrendingElectrolysis.com.
Enjoy the tradition of the Thanksgiving buffet at the Park Tavern. Come enjoy the feast on the 22nd. Roast turkey with stuffing, potatoes and gravy, cranberry sauce, salad sides, and the delicious desserts. And don't forget the hour of free bowling. Seatings are from 11 till 3, but because of the popularity, you'll need reservations. $20.95 for adults, seniors $14.95, kids 6 to 12, $10.95, and 5 and younger are free. Call 952-929-6810 or go to parktavern.net. This Thanksgiving, be thankful for the Park Tavern, Louisiana Avenue, north of Highway 7 in St. Louis Park.
Anytime is the right time to update your music collection, so stop in at the Electric Fetus and browse their massive selection. You'll find everything from rock and pop to international and roots, and so much more on CD and vinyl. Not only is Electric Fetus the best stop for music, but they also carry a wide and unique range of gifts. Bath products, clothing, books, stationery, candles, incense, you name it. That's the Electric Fetus at 2000 4th Avenue South in Minneapolis and online at efetus.com.
The fine folks at Common Good Books will help you find the perfect book for you or the book lover in your life. Find a huge selection from a locally owned and independent bookseller in the Twin Cities. They are always bringing in top authors from around the globe for special in-store events. Open Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. and Sundays, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. Find Common Good Books at 38 South Snelling Avenue in St. Paul or shop online at commongoodbooks.com.
What kind of a jackass would let an animal pick their insurance? Did you really think a lizard could save you money on car insurance? Would you let a duck pick your health policy? Insurance can be a zoo, but this is ridiculous. What you really need is an insurance agent that isn't looking out for the insurance companies. You need Cheryl at Array, an independent agent with 30 years experience looking for the best rate possible. Quit monkeying around and call 763-504-3067. That's 763-504-3067 for Cheryl at Array, representing you, not the insurance companies.
With your AM 950 weather, I'm Brett Johnson. Look for rain tonight with a low around 29, Wednesday cloudy with a high near 33, Thursday partly sunny with a high around 31, and Friday partly sunny with a high near 28.
Don't miss the Home Improvement and Design Expo this Saturday only at the Mounds View Community Center, featuring up to 150 home improvement companies, giveaways, and more. It's the Home Improvement and Design Expo this Saturday at the Mounds View Community Center. See it all at expoguys.com. That's expoguys.com.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. Hunter Haas and Brett Johnson here for Local Minnesota Radio Hour on Election Day 2018. If you have any thoughts on the state house races or your local municipal races, give us a call at 952-946-6205. So I want to start with the Minnesota State House. I have been researching this quite in depth the past week, and I should note, if you want to get in-depth coverage tonight of how the Minnesota House races are shaping up, first, listen to us at 7 p.m., and then follow me on Twitter at Tiki Shack Fun. That's Tiki Shack Fun. And follow the AM 950 Twitter as well at AM 950 Radio. And
I have to vouch for that as well. You've done an insane amount of prep work for that. You are the person to go to for following these local election results.
Yeah, I really kind of got nuts about this and just got
in a good way.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah, totally obsessed with just covering this and figuring out everything I could about it. So let's briefly go over what this is looking like. So the Minnesota House of Representatives is made up of 134 districts. 68 are needed for a majority. Currently, The Republicans have 77 seats, and the DFL has 57. So the DFL, to have a majority, needs to gain 11 seats from the Republicans. And incumbents are very powerful in these state House seats. Incumbents have a win rate since 1972 that has never dropped below 90%. So incumbents have a significant advantage entering these elections. Because these races are very personable, and you find that these are often races where people will split their ballot more than National House or Senate or governor, because they tend to have a closer personal relationship with their representative. But this year, there are some very notable departures from the Minnesota State House. Deborah Hillstrom will not be retaining her seat because she ran for the Attorney General race. Peggy Flanagan, Aaron May Quaid, and Aaron Murphy will not be returning to their seats because of entering the governor's race in Minnesota this year. And that Aaron May Quaid seat is significant because she was the only Democrat in 2016 to flip a Republican-held seat. So it'll be interesting to monitor her in Apple Valley tonight and see what happens there. And then the other notable departure for the Democrats is Ilhan Omar, who, of course, is running in CD5 this year for Keith Ellison's seat, who joined the Attorney General's race. For the Republicans, they don't have as many notable departures. Jim Neuberger is their main one, who, of course, is running against Amy Klobuchar. But in total, the DFL have 16 incumbents who are not returning, compared to the Republicans, who only have 8. Another interesting thing, a little phenomenon going on here, is there are 2 races which are completely uncontested, and they are both Democrats. There's 28A with Gene Pelosi Jr., who's been a representative since 1986, as well as 67A, Tim Mahoney, who has held his seat significantly long, too, since 1998. So that's an interesting thing that they don't even bother running a candidate. I don't know if that's ever a good strategy. You should have someone to at least raise their prominence in the district.
And force the opposition to spend money. Totally agree. Yeah. Even if you're not going to win, you force your opponent to spend money. So, good point.
So, for both the Republicans and Democrats, they have the same kind of primary strategy in how they're going to win the majority. For the Republicans, it's called the Trump 7, and it's 7 districts where Democrats currently hold the seat, but that Trump won in 2016. And for the Democrats, it's called the Hillary 12, where there's 12 Republicans that are in districts that Hillary Clinton won in 2016. And the biggest target for the Democrats is right near here, 49A. Dario Anselmo from Edina and Bloomington. And I just drove through that neighborhood on my way here when I picked up the laptop, like I said. And very, very closely split with the yard signs just driving around there. There was it was about 50-50, honestly. And so there's enthusiasm for both sides. But he is definitely extremely vulnerable in this race. He only won his race in 2016, 51 to 48. So it's a very close race with him. And Hillary Clinton won the seat by 27 points. So the district was extremely supportive of Hillary Clinton. And he managed to squeak by in that race. So his opponent is Heather Edelson. She is a mental health therapist, and she has received some significant national endorsements from President Barack Obama, Hillary Clinton, and Walter Mondale. So there's a lot of attention on this state house race. Should note, too, that the Star Tribune actually endorsed Dario here. They have their state house endorsements, which are about split 50-50, but they chose him as one. which struck me because usually they predict who they think is going to win rather than who they actually endorse. And he is by far not a safe bet at all here. So that is one to definitely look out for. But the Republicans, they took their House majority in 2014 and expanded it in 2016 by winning 11 of the 12 House districts that elected DFLers in 2012, despite going for Mitt Romney in the presidential election. So this phenomenon, basically, 4 years ago, the Republicans really won out on the strategy, and they've held a majority since. What we should note, though, is the 11 of 12, the lone survivor was Paul Marquette of 4B, and he, this year, is the Republicans' top target because Trump won his district by 21.6%. So there's some phenomenal hanging on going in some of these races. But the House candidates often get more votes within the district than the names at the top of the ticket, like I said, because people have an actual relationship with some of their representatives. So the Republicans, their strategy this year is a little tricky. Their plan is a ticket-splitting plan because they're aware that most of these top-of-the-ballot seats are going to go Democrat. So they hope to make the state House races not about Trump, but convince voters to split their ticket on the local level. Suburban districts are really important to note, like I said earlier, to understand the political dynamics in 2018. The DFL is counting on the suburban voter, especially suburban women, who carry a very strong dislike for President Trump and to carry that down to these House races. So DFL is counting on, and I should note, of these, the Hillary 12, all of them are suburban districts. They're in Edina, Chanhassen, Maple Grove, Shoreview, Invergrove Heights, Woodbury, South St. Paul, Savage, Lakeville, Rosemont, Plymouth, Eden Prairie. So we've heard this time and time again that the battleground is in the suburbs this year, and it really is. It's very easy to see this. But something that's going on in the with the state house is Republicans have shifted their focus almost exclusively to these state house races. They've taken out their money from outside groups that were going to the top of the ticket names like Jeff Johnson and have moved it these past few weeks almost exclusively to these state house races because they see it as their most likely branch of government that they can win this election. So independent expenditures have spent about $20 million combined in campaigns for governor, attorney general, secretary of state, auditor, and the state house. With $13.4 million going to the Democrats, they are in the lead, and only $6.4 million going to the Republicans. So outside spending here in Minnesota has been predominantly for Democratic candidates. However, the Republicans have shifted their focus almost entirely to the state legislature, with $4.3 million of that $6.4 going to the state House races, compared to the Democrats who only have $2 million going to these. So some of the larger Democratic groups are the ABM, which is affiliated with WIN Minnesota and the 2018 Fund. They're funded by wealthy individuals and labor unions predominantly, but they have been spending predominantly on the governor's race in a ratio of 5-1. But the Republican PAC groups are the Freedom Club, Minnesota Jobs Coalition, Pro Jobs Majority Coalition of Minnesota Business, and they've focused exclusively on these legislative races. The only Republican PAC is the Freedom Club that is continuing to support Jeff Johnson. And I've definitely seen this personally. One day I received three mailers that were anti-Donzel Leggett mailers. So 3 in one day for my state house candidate. And I even received mailers from Dario Ensemble, and I live in Chaska, and he represents Edina. So they're getting carried away with this.
They need to do a better job with their freedoms and their jobs that they have in their names. Maybe they need accuracy in their names instead. Why are they mailing you stuff in Chaska?
I know, it's crazy. And there's been multiple.
I could understand if it was like Edina and maybe they're sending something to Richfield, but that doesn't make any sense.
And I've got to be a name to not target. Why would they want to send it to me? I mean, it's pretty clear that you can look up who I donate to. It's not you guys. But my dad lives in Edina, and he said he's received a crazy amount of these Dario mailers. All right, we'll take Patrick quick. Patrick in Apple Valley wants to talk about libs versus conservatives. Patrick?
Hey, thanks for having me on. You know, I was on yesterday, got disconnected. But what I was explaining or trying to was the difference between the progressives and the conservatives. I'm a conservative guy. I'm 61. I have my own business and go to church and raise my family. And, you know, I live by the rules and all this and that. But I see the progressives as wanting to transform and change. When Obama ran, he made that famous statement. He said, we're 5 days away from fundamentally transforming the United States of America. That scared the hell out of me.
And why does that scare you?
What did he do to transform the country?
And then the reason why we have Donald Trump today is because we had Obama for 8 years. That's my opinion.
But what scared you of wanting to transform America? What specifically?
Because, well, if you're married and if you say you love your wife, but then you say that you want to change her, well, there's a contradiction there. I don't believe he loved America. I don't believe that he believed and bought into the foundation, the founding values that made us such a unique country. We are the greatest country on God's green earth. And why transform it? I thought that was not very wise.
Okay, thanks, Patrick.
I'm not really sure where we were going with that.
Very abstract. I don't mean to laugh. I do believe that you sincerely do care about the country.
I just
don't understand what the problem was. And when Obama took office, we needed incredible transformations because the country was in an economic crisis at the time. So. Yeah. I don't quite...
Transforming marriage, I mean, if he's referring to gay people getting married, what's
the problem with that?
Yes,
marriage.
That's where I think he was trying to go with that.
Yeah,
in an abstract way, to say the least, as you put it.
Yeah, and I do remember Patrick calling in one time saying that he supports traditional marriage when we were talking about Doug Wardlow. He phrased it carefully so he didn't come out and say that he's against gay people being able to get married, but... I think I see where that was going. Well, let's take a break, Brett. We'll be back here on AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota. Our phone number is 952-946-6205. If you want to give us a call and talk about anything on Election Day 2018. And be sure to tune in at 7 p.m. and witness the blue wave happen in real time. We'll be right back.
Vacuum cleaners. You buy them, you break them, and then you throw them away, right? Well, if you're ready to break out of that vicious cycle, we have the answer. Ever heard of A1 Vacuum? They've been around forever, offering better alternatives. So if you're ready to stop filling the landfill, give A1 Vacuum a shot. Located in Roseville and ready to show you something better. Find them at a-1vacuum.com or call 651-222-6316. Better yet, drop by.
Hello, fellow AM 950 listeners. This is Jaja from Nightingale at 26 in Lindale. Come experience our delicious signature dishes and exciting rotation of inventive seasonal fare for my wife and chef, Carrie, and her team. Nightingale is the perfect place to gather for any occasion with our extensive wine, beer, and cocktail selection, along with our dedication to great service. We offer a full menu every day from 4 to 1 a.m., 2 award-winning daily happy hours, and weekend brunch at 10. More at nightingalempls.com.
Hi,
Hi, I'm Asma, and this Saturday on Connections Radio Show, we will be talking about RISE, which stands for Reviving the Islamic Sisterhood for Empowerment. Our mission is to amplify the voice and power of Muslim women through civic engagement, leadership development, and storytelling. We imagine a future in which Muslim women are reflected, celebrated, and emboldened. Our show is sponsored by World Street Kitchen and Milk Jam Creamery. Be sure to stop by and get a taste of their wonderful World Fusion street food. And listen at 9 a.m. this Saturday on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
Are you thinking of selling your house or downsizing to main level living for an easier lifestyle? I'm Janelle Holte with Sellers Edge Home Team and Coldwell Banker Burnett, your agent with heart. My team specializes in selling homes and helping you find the next property for all life stages. Call me today for your free equity assessment. I'll get you moving. That's Janelle Holte at 612-203-9661 or find us online at sellersedgehometeam.com.
Don't wait. Get Black Friday appliance savings now from Warner Stellion. Get the same great deal and be ready for the holidays. At Warner Stellion, we guarantee our Black Friday prices so you can buy now with confidence. Laundry pairs, dishwashers, refrigerators, entire kits and suites priced with unbeatable Black Friday discounts. Plus, you can trust our specialists to deliver and install your new appliances without worry. So why wait? Get Black Friday appliance savings while they last from Minnesota's original appliance specialist, Warner Stellion.
Hey, it's Brett from AM 950. Election Day is Tuesday, and we're going to have live coverage on AM 950 that night. From 7 till 9, it's Matt McNeil hosting with lots of great guests, including Jeff Stein, Cliff Schechter, and more. Hunter, Eric, and I will be updating you on results from Election Central. Then at 9, we take over hosting duties as we'll chat with Doug Padgett and his Vote Common Good Tour and check in with the local candidates. So listen to the Blue Wave happen on AM 950 with our local election night coverage or watch it live on AM 950's Facebook page.
What are we going to do about the man in blue? What are we going to do?
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota, Hunter Haas and Brett Johnson here for local Minnesota Radio Hour on Election Day 2018. And our coverage begins at 7 p.m. with Matt McNeil reporting the results of the Blue Wave. And we'll be taking over at 9 p.m. going late into the night. Well, David from Shakopee wanted to give a little response to Patrick. David?
Hey, Hunter. How are you guys doing?
Good.
Let me talk directly to Patrick. Patrick, you sound like a really decent guy. You sound like a great guy, loves his country, loves his wife, is willing to take care of business. But here's the problem. When you heard Obama say he wanted to fundamentally change the country, what you heard was he wanted to change the country you love from what you love into something else. But really what he wanted to do was change it back into the country you love. Because back in the 80s, the Republicans started dismantling everything that you love. Everything you love about this country, they took apart piece by piece by piece. And what the Democrats are talking about, at least the progressive Democrats, not the third-way politic Democrats, but the progressive Democrats are talking about is returning the country back to the country that you loved back in the 50s, but giving the same opportunity that white people got to everybody, no matter what the color, no matter what their creed, no matter what their sexual orientation, and no matter what their gender. And that's what the progressives are all about, is bring the country back to the country that you love. So don't fear it. Embrace it. And that's all I got to say today.
Well, thank you, David. That was very well put. I appreciate calling in. But before we go, we only have a couple minutes left, and I wanted to talk about an idea that I'm going to potentially explore after the election. For municipal local races that don't have party affiliation, I always struggle to find information on who to vote for that aligns with me, because even when you do your own research, the information that the candidates put out is incredibly general and vague, and you really can't tell the difference. So I was considering to start a project with the goal of making endorsements for every municipal race of the progressive option for the entire state of Minnesota for the 2020 elections. However, I hesitate that if I did this, could it potentially do more harm than good? Because people would be able to attack anyone that was endorsed as being a far-left extremist. So my plan is to speak with some mayors and school board members and city council members and talk with them and see what they feel about that. And if there was a way to have some sort of tool like this that would be effective for the people I want to reach and not be a way to bring these candidates down or be labeled as something extreme, which they're not. Brett, do you what do you think of that? What do you think would happen if there was a tool like this, or if I spent the time? Do you think it would work or be a tool for attack?
Completely useful, I think, if you, you know, put it as a nonpartisan thing, which I imagine is your aim, because, you know, I was talking with some family members and they were asking, well, who should I vote for city council? Mm-hmm. Who should I vote for on school board? And I have no idea. I even had callers asking about, well, what do we vote for on these judicial nominees? Thankfully, we, you know, have seen Michelle McDonald before. She's one of the candidates for Supreme Court, an extreme right winger. But there was also another Supreme Court race on the ballot, and I really didn't know anything about the two candidates except one was appointed by Dayton. So I think it's a great tool that you could possibly make.
Yeah, so the goal would be so that people like me will be able to vote for the candidate that aligns with their values the most. But that is my fear, is that it'll be used against them when they put together that it's got a left-wing orientation at all. So that'll be something I'm going to start exploring after this election and see if there's a way to do it, because I have 2 years to complete it right now.
I think you could do it, too. You just put where the candidates stand without necessarily endorsing them, because then maybe they wouldn't use it against them, saying Hunter Haas's app endorses X candidate or whatever.
Yeah, I just want it to be easy and clear, because right now there is nothing that exists like that. It's extremely difficult to ever find, and I struggle with this election after election, and I try and do my research. It's always a priority, but I still even struggle. I can find the candidates, but I want something where more people can be able to access this. Well, we're at the end of the show, but we will be back with Matt McNeil at 7 p.m. to kick off our election night coverage. And then me, Brett, and Eric will be taking over at 9 p.m. and we'll be going late into the night reporting and celebrating the blue wave today. Well, this is AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. We'll see you later.